With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is William Ramsey. Welcome to William Ramsey Investigates. On tonight's show, I have a very special guest, a returning guest, probably one of my most favorite guests. My favorite guest in particular is Roberta Glass. She runs the True Crime Report and podcast. Her podcast is available on the iTunes or podcast, Apple podcast list. And we've done a bunch of talks in the past, but today we're going to talk about the NXIVM updates. There's been, the trial has started and she has attended. I also, last year, right around this time, I interviewed Frank Parlato from the Frank Report, who's also done some stellar reporting, who knew the chief malefactor, Keith Raniere. So you guys could listen to that interview as well on my YouTube channel, William Ramsey Investigates, or my podcast. But Roberta, are you there?
Yes, thank you.
Awesome. Thanks for agreeing to the interview. Maybe what we can do, there's been a lot of updates, a lot of new information. Maybe you can bring the audience up to date or just talk a little bit about your background and where people can find your material, because you've been doing a lot of firsthand reporting on many of these current criminal cases, but also what's been going on with NXIVM.
Well, I guess my background is really just as someone who's, you know, interested in true crime and followed it and got really interested in the spin of, especially after the West Memphis 3 case, how that was spun. So I talk a lot about how the defense spins their side in the press and how that becomes myth. So, I'm on iTunes, I'm on Spreaker, and I'm on YouTube right now. And the NXIVM court case, it started with, I think, around 6 defendants. And now everybody's pled out except for Keith Raniere, who's also known as Vanguard, who's the cult leader.
Or Grandmaster now. That's what's come out. He was also known as Grandmaster.
Right.
Okay. So he has a lot of different names. Sorry.
Yeah, the things that have come out about him, I mean, you know, I went to a lot of the hearings, and now I'm attending, you know, I'm attending the trial when I can, you know, and what came out in Mark Vicente's testimony, and he was in NXIVM for 12 years. He's a filmmaker who got involved with it. And he testified that Keith Raniere told people that he can't even be around electronics because his vibe is so strong that they just short circuit and become useless because his energy is so powerful. And I think Lauren Salzman just testified that she heard a story that Keith Raniere went for a walk. That was his favorite thing to do with his followers, to go for a walk and talk, you know, talk at them, and that it was raining and that it rained on the rained on the followers, but it didn't rain on Keith Raniere.
Right. So like in this trial, it's like they're saying that he claimed magical powers.
Yes. Right. Very much so. I mean, he said with one follower that having sex with him, he emanated a blue light, or they would see a blue light. I mean, there's all this kind of, and another interesting part of the testimony, and something that I said really early on, was that I thought Keith Raniere thought about himself that he was arrested and perhaps targeted because he was too powerful. His ideas were too revolutionary that he's a political prisoner type thing.
Right.
And what came out in Vicente's testimony is that he felt that he was being followed by the government and filmed and that there was a conspiracy to the highest levels to keep his revolutionary, teaching kind of under.
So he had like a persecution. He took upon himself the persecution complex right now.
Absolutely. But what I find interesting is how absolutely schooled Ranieri is in the conspiracy. I don't know what you'd call it. Materials.
I think that's right. The conspiracy genre.
Yeah. I mean, just he didn't believe in global warming. He's very interested in Luciferians, this kind of Luciferians, and how that they were really subversive people, or what did he call them? The same word Scientology uses.
Suppressives,
right.
SPs. You get labeled an SP in Scientology, and that's like being shunned or something, or being an apostate.
Right, and which basically means that anyone who's critical, even in the slightest bit, of Scientology, that's really what being a suppressive person means. And it also was a word in NXIVM, and that's another thing I learned. I knew that NXIVM had stolen a lot of their ideas from Scientology, but I had no idea the extent. I mean, it's pretty much the core belief of NXIVM is really the core belief of Scientology, which is that we're unconscious of our, traumas that embed ourselves in our psyche or subconscious.
The Scientologists use the term engram. So you're using the little funny machine with the two cans to overcome traumas in the past and release them. So that's like one of the primary goals of getting to the clear state within Scientology, yeah.
Right. And in NXIVM, they have this thing called exploration of meaning, or EM. So you go through this like $3,000 to $4,000, it says, process of saying, I have a fear of crowds. So you talk with your counselor or your proctor, could be either one, and you try to find out why you're afraid of crowds. And maybe it's because you got, left
as a child or something.
Yeah. Child, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you overcome it. So,
gotcha. It's interesting. But did you get a feeling in any of those hearings about how big NXIVM actually got? Because the more I read, the more it seems like there's even more connections with him all across the country with these movable teaching seminars and things like that. Did you ever get a feel for that?
That's such a great question, because I really thought that I would just wait for the trial. And obviously this would have been the trial would have been more revealing had there been more defendants. Right. But I'm still left with more questions. Obviously, it's not over. It's still ongoing. But I have more questions now than I did before the trial. So you talk about how NXIVM set up, and it is not some sort of there's really a lot of thought put into it. I can't say it was effective or, whatever. It produced the results that they said it did. However, you look at all the different factions. I still don't know what the Ethical Science Foundation, what were those experiments about? Who was benefiting from that? And I'm talking about the experiments where they put electrodes to women's heads, and they made them watch videos of the most horrific images ever, like people's heads being stomped in and, things really traumatizing.
Really traumatizing, yeah. That sounds like MK Ultra stuff,
Exactly. And Keith Ranieri could not have been, he could have not known about that, about MK Ultra. I just can't even imagine. He's so well-versed in conspiracy, the history of conspiracies,
right.
Or conspiracies and the ideas themselves.
Right. So he clearly knows Scientology. He understands a lot of the dynamics within that, but he also It's like breaking people down and bringing them back up, which was like a Scientology technique, you know? He said about Allison Mack, like, I think Vicente said, man, she's not looking very good. And he said, well, I mean, she looks like she's going to break. And Ranieri's response was, I'm trying to break her, right? So he's like definitely trying to remold and reformulate these people. And even in the more recent testimony of Vicente, talking about metal ankle shackles, paddle boards, and a shock collar, like something from Star Trek.
Right. He was that was actually testimony from a sex company. Oh. And it's a little, I think that the women were really, first of all, most of the NXIVM members, the majority of the members were women. There were some men, but it was women. And Keith Raniere, not only did he have a lecherous, interest in them, but he also had a major interest in controlling and demeaning women. So those things were to be used in DOS, things like the opening statement of the prosecutor. She talks about Nikki Klein being tied to a table.
Really?
And blindfolded, and a stranger, someone she didn't know or didn't know who it was, performing sexual acts on her and not knowing till way later who it was. So it's just, it's really interesting to me, and I think a lot of women have clued into it, this idea that this kind of sex positive feminism, that's not really feminism, where you just sexualize yourself and it's somehow empowering. That kind of idea runs through DOS and runs through NXIVM. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. So that's kind of like their selling point. This is positive, but the guy at the center of it's just manipulating everybody, I mean,
all the toys that you brought up, those were toys to be used in DOS, which was part of the Jeunesse part of NXIVM, which was the self-empowerment group for women led by Keith Raniere, secretly, right?
And so how empowering and how positive could it be if he was talking about building a dungeon, right? Like an S&M dungeon. Yeah. There was some talk about that too, which is incredible. So very, very devious and evil. And even Vicente said it was, he cried on the stand, right?
That was shocking. I mean, that was really early. I mean, he just got on to continue his testimony. And so the prosecutor will put up documents. They'll be projected in the courtroom. And he said, do you recognize that, what that is? And he says, yes, that's the mission statement we read, before each class or intensive, class. And he just started breaking down. And it was so... It was sad. It was really sad to see how broken and, I guess embarrassed, and he felt ashamed. Yeah. Those were some of the things that I got from it. And he said, why are you having that react? The prosecutor asked why he had that reaction. He said, because it's this kind of, I quoted in my podcast exactly, but he says it's basically evil. It's covering up an evil, calling NXIVM evil.
Right. And did you see, I looked at some of these, I was looking through some research today, particularly the New York Post, but there was an exhibit, 363, like it was a huge amount of exhibits. Did you see a lot of exhibits when you're sitting in the trial?
Yes.
Okay. So they're putting up lots of information.
They're putting up, some things is just, NXIVM owned a restaurant. I had no idea. So yes, it is bigger. I mean, that's a great question. It is bigger than I think anyone, I think probably, than I knew, obviously.
Well, one of the reasons I asked that is Scientology had like thousands of front companies, very benign sounding front companies that would draw people in on very similar sounding classes that NXIVM had, and suddenly you'd be paying money, and then you'd be brought further in, and then somebody would be making money off the money you spent, and it's all kind of very similar to what Ranieri was using, like a pyramid scheme, where people would be making money off of getting new converts, and it just sounds very Scientology like to me, just like you said.
Right. There was tons of companies open you know, under different names like Occam's Razor, and, you know, just there's a list as long as your arm of companies started by Nexium. But how active all of them were, I don't know. I know that Rainbow Cultural Gardens, which was the school for small kids, that was in many different countries. And right. Of course, the Ethical Science Foundation, and, you know, lots of different
things. And like Vicente also said, like, he was conversing with Ranieri talking about being a psychopath, and Ranieri flat out said, I could be, you know. And I think Vicente came to the conclusion that he was a psychopath, right?
And you see that in court. I mean, he's been cleaned up. In the hearings, he really looked homeless and disturbed, and maybe like a homeless mental patient, maybe a combination of both. And now they cut his hair, which is dyed with ballpoint pens, which strangely doesn't look all that bad right now.
Interesting.
And, you know, they put him in these, you know, sort of like preppy sweaters and collared shirts. And he is watching the testimony like it's not the most horrific stuff you've ever heard. Like, oh, like putting his hand on his chin, like, oh, like it's not him who did it, you know. It's just very, and great, he's point. Loving all the attention, and I'm sure he's loving hearing his name being repeated a million times in court. Obviously a narcissist, if not a narcissistic sociopath. That is my armchair.
And you had, I think we were talking earlier in the week, you had likened his kind of look to one of the Menendez brothers, right?
Yeah, like that was so funny, because when I saw him, I was like, that is, you know, they dressed up the Menendez brothers to make them in these pastel, sort of gentle colors. And I said, I mean, it was like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, that is the Lyle Menendez and Eric Menendez look. And when I got out on a break and got my phone back, I looked up the Menendez brothers, and there was the exact same sweater, except Lyle wore a crew neck and Keith wears V-necks, but right. Exact same outfit. So I had my friend put Keith Raniere's head on Lyle Menendez's body to give everybody an idea of what it looked like. So I'm sure image is something that the defense thought of.
Right, so Agnifilo's in there. And you had some own personal comments or opinions about Agnifilo's opening statement, right?
Yeah, it was hard. It was the worst opening statement. I've listened to a lot of opening statements. I've read a lot of opening statements. And this was the worst, longest, most rambling. I thought it reminded me of just someone with a lot of disconnected, unorganized thinking. There's a term in psychology where people are expressing unorganized thinking. He didn't prepare for it. He didn't have notes. I thought he had notes. He had no notes. He just went up there and winged it and started, wow, telling stories from World War II and Churchill and quoting To Kill a Mockingbird and repeating ideas and mixing them with the other ideas. And basically, you know, he went to the same defense, which is what all defense lawyers go to when their client is a sleazebag, which is, you know, you may not like my client. What my client did may be morally distasteful, but it's not illegal to be, you know, he's not on trial for being morally repugnant, you know, that
right.
type of
yep,
thing.
Yep, absolutely. So it was it was a long opening statement. Did he take like a half an hour, an hour?
Yeah, it was right before lunch. It took an hour.
Wow.
And it was in contrast to the prosecution opening statement, which was was obviously written out, very succinct. And, you know, the idea of an opening statement is like the introduction to a book to give you an idea. Here's what this case is all about. Here's what we're going to prove. And here's how we're going to go about doing it. That's it.
Right.
You know,
when witnesses were on, you had stated that you were curious as to the judge actually quizzing the witness for the prosecution, right? Do you remember kind of some of the questions he asked?
I just remember that one, but he asked a question about videotapes. Nexium had a committee, I think it was like a law committee, but no one on that committee, Claire Bronfen was part of it, but nobody on the committee was a lawyer. And so the judge asked, did you, before you illegally edit these videotapes that were going to be evidence in a court case against cult expert and activist Rick Ross, did you ask a lawyer? Did you consult a lawyer? So he's asking not just clarifying questions, really pointed, precise. He's asking,
right. So for a very interesting, it's an interesting question because that was a long drawn out case, right? NXIVM tried to bury Rick Ross, if I remember, like through long term litigation. So if they're actually covering up stuff that had been requested by a discovery, they're breaking the law. So it's interesting that the judge brought up something from the past. Was that a topic of conversation between?
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The prosecutor and the witness, do you recall?
Well, Nancy Salzman pled guilty to editing these videotapes. So that was a big part of her, her plea. So that's, I think, why. But you get an idea of, it took, one of the documents was Mark Vicente's memo to his crew that was helping edit these videotapes. And what they were doing was creating static and distortion in parts where they had removed certain elements of what Nancy Salzman said, which was like that NXIVM can cure diseases and things like that mm-hmm. would obviously get them in trouble. And they were also putting it in random places to make it look not suspicious, but they were also aging the videotapes with sandpaper and the labels. So, I mean, the memo was extensive, and you got an idea of how these are not lazy. These are highly functional people who would be a success in the real world, probably, right?
Interesting, right.
But are all their time to NXIVM. I mean, that's what I got from Mark Vicente's incredibly detailed memo about how we're going to complete doing this task of editing these videotapes, to the detail of putting away the equipment in the box that the equipment was bought in,
Right, like put it right back. That's interesting. That's another like Scientology indicator, because through Scientology's training, you have power over what they call MEST, matter, energy, space, and time. So you're like a truly like independent creature, like, and you're supposed to conquer your health and all that. So when she says, if they have that that stuff within their writings, that's also very telling to me.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And when Mark Vicente asked Nancy Salzman a question. He was asking if there was something nefarious going on in NXIVM. And they turned it back on him and said, what's wrong with you that you can't accept that this organization is so noble and so ethical and so good? What is wrong with you that you can't accept that there's so much good in the world? So any criticism that you have of NXIVM, it's some kind of, awesome moral.
Wow, interesting. Yeah, like we're under assault, the persecution complex. Mm-hmm. Interesting. And there was another one yesterday, right? Wasn't there a a different witness for the prosecution. Was it Lauren Saltzman or I think one of the, is that right? Do you remember, do you recall anything that happened yesterday?
I wasn't in court yesterday. I just from Lauren Saltzman testified, and she testified about how Keith promised her a baby and it just went on, you know, for years not happening, and just some of the inner workings of DOS and how, you know, DOS meaning the branding sexual slave part of NXIVM.
Right. And I'm trying to remember, like, you had said, just going back to Vicente, you said that there were questions regarding this one member of the group even before I think NXIVM was established. Her name was Kristen Snyder, who disappeared in Alaska. And Vicente had said that Ranieri said something about that, right? Or he knew something about that.
Right. So Kristen Snyder was a woman who it was, I think, officially ruled a suicide. She was a lesbian woman with a partner who got involved in the Alaska, local NXIVM. Uh-huh. And Keith Ranieri became obsessed. And eventually, I guess she got involved with Keith Ranieri in Albany and got obsessed with converting her and making her straight by, of course, sleeping with her. And she was apparently in not great health right before she committed suicide, where a canoe tipped over. So, and she left a note saying she didn't know she was already dead. And many people have wondered if that was actually a murder, because Keith Ranieri's on tape saying, "I've had people murdered for my belief or killed for my belief." I'm not sure exactly what the exact quote is. So what Keith Ranieri told Mark Vicente about Kristen Snyder was that there were obvious problems with the story of her death. One, Kristen Snyder was a survivalist. So how did she tip over her canoe so easily? You know, I guess. Two, the note talks about NXIVM when NXIVM didn't even exist back then. All right.
Right.
And three, that Kristen Snyder is still alive and happily living with her partner in a motel room.
Right, and her body was never found, right? So that's
Mark Vicente said he believed every word.
Wow.
So interesting, right?
Yeah, when I talked to Parlotto, I talked about the Snyder case. There was another woman who died under suspicious circumstances in Albany as well. And I wonder if that's going to be brought up at trial or any of that information will come out.
Yeah.
I forgot her name offhand.
Vicki Hudson, I think it is.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yes, that's right. She was a long-term member as well. But I also saw, like, there's other people that keep popping up. Like, there's new names that I didn't know about. These Loretta Garza, Rosa Laura Junko, Monica Duran. Are you familiar with any of those names that were people in Ranieri's orbit?
No.
Yeah. That's just something that, I mean, there's just more information that's coming out. So I think this trial will be very fascinating. I mean, if they have 400 exhibits, they've done their homework, you know. So I wonder how long. Did you hear anything in any of the hearings or anything about how long the prosecution was going to need to, or how long the jurors were going to have to be set aside? Do you recall anything like that?
Yeah. I think we're looking at least a 2 or 3 week trial, at least. This is what I've heard.
Gotcha. So
we're going on the second week now, and the first week, I guess this is the end of the second week. The first week, they started on a Tuesday and they ended on a Thursday. Usually the judge doesn't work on Friday, but he's making an exception.
And you're seeing all the media. I think you were around Frank Parlato too, or seeing some regular attendees. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah. Well, what happened was the first day of... I said, nothing will make you feel more like a loser when you're in line to get into the courtroom and the person in front of you, they cut it off at the person in front of you. And they were only letting in, I think I was number 20, 24, 22 that day. And so they're only letting in a tiny number of people in the courtroom. And they're so there's really not a lot of space. So everybody went to the overflow room. So Forbes was there. There's a space for the local press in court, but you know, there was a lot of interest in the case. The overflow room was filled, and that was a pretty big room. Frank Rilotta was there. BuzzFeed was sitting, someone from BuzzFeed, someone from Forbes. Of course, my friend Melissa Roberto from Radar Online sat next to me, who was really angry she didn't get in, because you can't see much. I mean, if anybody thinks that the prosecution and the state is the man with infinite power, boy, will that be debunked when you go in court and you see the equipment that they're using.
Rudimentary, yeah. And there's no, they're not allowing videotape of the trial, right? I don't think I've seen anything like that.
No, and that was something that was interesting. There's two security points. So I don't know if they think someone's going to come in there with a gun and try to pick off Keith Raniere or what. So you have to go through the usual, which is like pretty much airport security, except you don't have to take off your shoes. Mm-hmm. And then you have to go through another security check, you know, another check just right. like it right before you get into court. And right before I was going into court, I can't remember which day this was, the gentleman before me had tried to sneak in a recording device. And Ooh. Boy, were they unhappy with him. He was let in, but he was with a warning. So
wow.
Yeah, that's interesting. They're really about that.
They should be. I mean, I think that all this interest and a lot of that information gets out, things can get skewed in the media. So, I mean, the media already skews a lot of these stories anyway, so they, I mean, it's. I think it's important. There's always an argument within the law about whether they should have video cameras in the Supreme Court or other courtrooms or not, and I am steadfastly on never, like never put the video court. It was a huge mistake in the OJ trial and all these other trials where it actually decreases the kind of, you know, the seriousness of these cases where you have, you know, the mob or just the group of people making these, you know, off-the-cuff judgments, maybe watching 15 minutes of something and then garner, you know, trying to make a determination on the whole case. There's a lot of opportunities for misunderstanding when you have those videotapes in there. So I definitely believe it's...
You mean misunderstanding by the public? Or
yeah, by the public.
Do you think it makes it performative?
Yeah, thank you. It was definitely by the public. I think that that's really the real primary danger, I think, of having those videotapes in there. It's like, you know, you really want it to be a serious... and I think that was a mistake in the West Memphis 3, actually. I don't think they should have been allowed the media in there to videotape it as well. If I was the judge, I wouldn't have allowed it. I think Judge Ito on the OJ case, actually, it hurt his reputation by allowing all this media circus in there, you know? So, after the OJ. So, yeah, I mean... That's a whole nother podcast, but it's there's been, you know, the historically, I think it hasn't been in the objective in the general court's favor to ever have those videotapes or have things videotaped, in my opinion.
Well, I thought before it's very different than watching. Being in court is very different than watching even hours of video of a trial.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You know, the sure. benches, they're hard. You're standing up. You're sitting down. There's all sorts of rules. I wasn't there, but apparently some journalist got kicked out by the judge for making some face.
Really? Some wow.
Face to Keith Raniere. You know, it's... When people say, oh, he spent, you know, he or she spent 5 days on the stand and it was grueling. You really understand why they say that. It really is grueling to be in the courtroom. And a lot of the press will go in for a couple hours, leave, take some time off. And, you know, that'll be it for them. To sit through a whole day of trial is intense and hard and takes a lot of concentration. And
absolutely.
Yeah, it's different, way different than, you know, watching in your living room and being able to pause and take a break and be in your pajamas.
Right. Is there anything else that we didn't cover on NXIVM? Anything you'd like to add?
Not that I mean, I guess everybody's waiting for Allison Mack to testify if that's going to happen or not. We don't know, right?
We don't. But I mean, I think that this is going to just get more and more interesting, this whole case. You know, I think that there's still stuff to be. I mean, usually, I think they brought in Vicente first because he was there for so long, and he provided the background for everything, right? So now they're going to just add on more and more relevant, you know, victims, I think is really what's coming, you know, in my opinion. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Well, yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing, you know, I heard that they're not going to put on a defense, but I can't imagine that actually happening. So,
well, I'd like to, I want to see who his defense witnesses are going to be. You know, I would definitely be interested in seeing that. Who's going to come out and try to whitewash Rhaenyra? That would be interesting.
Right. I mean, they said, while you were in Nexium, they said that the word cult didn't exist, you know, and Keith Rhaenyra had this plan to film a regular family and put out all this press that there was a cult, this family was a cult, so that they could later reveal to the public that it was just an ordinary family and see everything could be manipulated by the press to make it look like a cult, even a nice, normal family.
Wow.
So I wonder if they're going to get some like kind of C-minus cult expert to say Nexia wasn't a cult. I'd be interested to see that.
Definitely. Definitely. I wonder if they'll bring in experts, like literal cult experts. I wonder what, you know.
The prosecution is.
Yeah.
Yeah, the prosecution is. But I don't know about the defense, right? Who could they find?
I don't know.
Some guy from Altoona, PA or something. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with Altoona. But
the prosecution has not disclosed who their expert witness is, though, right?
The prosecution has, at least I know that the cult expert, and now I'm of course forgetting his name, has been disclosed.
It didn't disclose. Oh, yeah. Just curious
in make hearings, yeah. Gotcha. And what he's gonna.
Well, Nexium, yeah, that's very interesting. But there have been some kind of other true crime updates. I mean, you and I have talked about the recent accusations that were made against Tony Robbins. At least that was today. That was interesting. And also Bob Ruff has stopped his investigation into the Melgar case, right?
Right.
So have you followed? Okay.
Bob Ruff must have some agent. That's all I have to say. because, you know, no one, I wasn't all that bewildered why he stopped the West Memphis 3 investigation, but now that's going to be a show on Oxygen. Bob Ruff solving solved crimes.
God, it's incredible.
And then Nancy Grace, who was like the one of the only people who wasn't in on this whole innocence fraud.
Yeah.
Is now going to investigate or highlight, you know, examples of false convictions. That's even sadder to me in some ways.
Is she doing that on Oxygen, or what's she doing it on?
Too. And of course, Kim Kardashian, who supported Santoya Brown. That's a case that has been, I get a lot of flack for, but it's been largely misreported in the press that she was like 12 years old and that, you know, she was being trafficked by her pimp and that her life was in danger. She shot a sleeping man in the back and she told her fellow inmates that she just wanted to see what it felt like to kill someone.
Wow. Yeah, that's incredible.
And she got pardoned by the governor. I think she's dangerous.
Wow. So. Yeah. I mean, so Ruff is on Oxygen, and is he doing like a legitimate, do you know who his producers are, or if he's self-producing? Did you hear anything about that?
I don't know. I don't know.
I just couldn't follow the Melgar case anymore. It's like, I honestly would rather sit in front of somebody drawing their nails down a chalkboard for an hour than listen to him talk. It's incredible. I don't know how some people can actually follow him and then criticize. I don't know how they have the fortitude, the stamina to do it. It's incredible.
Well, I think before I think I was researching for my Bob Ruff episode. I tried to play it for my boyfriend, and he fell asleep within 2 minutes. I mean, he was out, like snoring. So help was on that. So I find him very boring too. But obviously, I do not have my pulse on what the American public likes, with fingers on the pulse.
So do you think that, I think when we talked, you and I talked offline last month, it was that he still kind of has an audience and people are still giving him money on Patreon and still, do you have any idea about what his listenership is?
That's an interesting thing because, you know, it's really hard to get this statistics of iTunes, and I'm sure it's on many different platforms, and sure. Put them all together and try to figure out who's really listening. I don't know. And he's been caught in so many lies and to accuse, you know, people of murder at the drop of a hat. You would think he would be questioned more intensely for that, but he's just not criticized at all, it seems. He's not even criticized for his belief in almost everybody's innocence. That's the criticism that I get the most, which is that, you know, you believe so much in the justice system and you just think everyone's guilty. And that criticism bothers me because it implies that I don't research anything and that I just cut corners and I just declare everyone guilty before looking at both sides when I take a lot of time and trouble to do that. And he's never criticized for it,
never,
you know,
never seems to happen or whatever happens. The criticism, he just blocks it and keeps on going. It's really remarkable. Like he's like oblivious to really looking at it. And I think it really comes down to his agenda is really where he's positioned himself as this paladin for the wrongful conviction. And he'll just make up a wrongful conviction in any situation, really, as long as anybody tells him they're wrong. I mean, I think for him to sit down with Damien Eccles and just, you know, believe the PR of his defense team right off the bat without a lot of questioning, I think, and without actually a lot of contradiction. Like, he, you know, I offered to talk to him. He denied that. I think Meese tried to. And so, you know, he's not listening. He's not taking the time to listen to all sides and take an objective stance, I think.
William Ramsey, he pretended not to know who you were.
I know. He knows why. He sends texts to me. They know. Look, man, they know me. So does Real Crime Profile with Zambetti. And what's the other joker's name? Clemente. They know. They know each other. Those guys know each other, and they know me very well. They've sent texts to me. They've sent tweets to me. They know exactly who I am. They're lying.
It's not like there's like a huge abundance. There's an abundance of people who believe in who publicly have written books about the West Memphis Three's guilt, right?
No, so, not many. Me, Meese. There's one Gary other Meese. Guy. Yeah, but anyway, so that's interesting. Isn't the Crime Con right now? Isn't there some kind of crime convention taking place? Are you aware of that?
Yeah, isn't it in New Orleans?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I'm assuming Ruff is headed there and Real Crime Profile and this whole new podcasting crime community is probably all going to show up, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's much more exciting. I mean, if you have infinite ways that you could say what happened at a crime and ignore the evidence, obviously you could create a much more exciting podcast, right?
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. Some of these guys, I mean, I don't even want to name names, but some of these podcasters, very well known, tens of millions of downloads, they just read their stuff right off of Wikipedia. So they don't even really have to do any work. It's incredible. Right. I've literally listened to one very well known podcast and read along with them as they were reading off Wikipedia.
Oh, I didn't know I could do that.
Yeah,
just
no,
read
I'll
Wikipedia.
Send it. No, I'll send it to you. I have proof. They've already done it. They're just reading the Wikipedia page. They're not reading books. Not looking at any court documents, nothing. So yeah, you can make a good living just reading stuff off Wikipedia, put it into a podcast.
Wait, can we talk about Tony Robbins
yes,
a little bit?
Yes, let's do it. Absolutely.
So Berlinger did this most fright. Who did Berlinger? Joe Berlinger, who's the director of, the co-director of the West Memphis Three, Paradise Lost, some of those movies. There's one that's directed by the. Now I can't remember his name. I always forget his name. No, you know the guy who did, he did Heavenly Creatures and he did that big franchise.
Parker? No, what's
New
the guy?
Zealand.
Was it?
It's from New Zealand.
New Zealand, yeah. It's his wife's name is
Lord of the Rings trilogy?
No, I know exactly. I'm just totally blanking. It'll come to me. Lord of the Rings, actually, and he paid for everything. He donated serious money into the West Memphis 3 Defense Fund. And his name is... I'm totally blanking. Can't figure it out. Anyway, what about him? Let's go. We can figure it out.
So anyway, so he basically creates or makes the whole narrative that the West Memphis Three were victims of some kind of satanic panic and hysteria, and that they were really innocent.
Right.
And then he did this documentary.
Peter Jackson.
Thank you. I tend not to remember people's names when I find them distasteful.
Yeah. Well, you should see his little witch tattoo that Damien Echols gave him. When I saw that, I about fell off my chair. It's amazing. It's got the whole Theban alphabet on there with the sigil. Yeah, it's really pretty. Left shoulder.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
So, Joe Berlinger does this documentary called I'm Not Your Guru, which is just a love letter to Tony Robbins.
Well, and I just a correction. I would never put the words documentary and Joe Berlinger in the same sentence.
True. What else should I call it?
A mockumentary, a ridiculous exercise, a film. Oh my God. None of his actual things that he calls documentaries are legit. There's none of them. The one on the whole crude oil thing that happened down in Ecuador was fake. It was a propaganda piece. The guy just keeps putting out lousy things, and these people at HBO keep picking them up. Netflix picked them up. I was talking to you off the interview that I know somebody who said that Netflix regretted putting up his newest movie, which is not really a documentary, but extremely wicked, shockingly evil. They really didn't know that it was going to be a little love letter to a serial killer.
So, it's scary, right?
Yeah, and I sent you those interviews he was doing when he was promoting the film. He's like, oh, yeah. I'm evil. He was saying something about him being evil. Like, he's just like, come on, dude, you're not honest. How can anybody look at you as an objective, honest account of any of these stories? It's incredible. And this other woman that really green-lighted everything, her name is Sheila Nevins. She sits on HBO, and she's got all these awards and stuff, and she's directly behind all three of these Paradise Lost pseudo-documentaries, and she... now is moving to MTV, and she's lauded in this LA community as this great beacon of honesty and truth. And I just like, I'm like gagging, like, you got to be out of your mind to write this stuff. It's a joke.
Because I think it's hard for people to imagine. I mean, it's not so hard for me. I mean, my dad was in the film business. I understand it, but you know, it's hard for people to imagine that a documentary is not truthful, and right, that the entire narrative in the press is wrong and false and inaccurate. That's a hard pill to swallow, don't you think? I think that's
absolutely like, absolutely. I mean, they put it into you'll put you into the theorist class. You're irrational. What did the guys from Real Crime Profile say to me? They said I was engaging in confirmation bias. If you think that the West Memphis Three are currently guilty, which they are objectively at law, it's confirmation bias if you think they actually did something wrong.
How is this word bias? It's if you look, it's called having an opinion. It's called looking at both sides and then forming an opinion. Yeah. How is that a bias?
I don't know. Oh. It just boggles the mind. Some of the kind of terminology and the way these people think about things, you just scratch your head. It's unbelievable. Oh my God. Like when I first researched the West Memphis Three, I had no idea. I figured actually they were innocent because I heard they got out in 2011. I was like, oh, there must have been something wrong with the case. You know, I'll go check it out. Oh, the court documents are here. Let me go read the court documents. Oh boy, right. This is what's going on with all this. Why are people actually saying they're innocent when there's tons of evidence? tons of stuff in the court record. So anyway.
So I really just thought that, I mean, maybe I think either I'm deluded and naive, but I thought that with the most recent kind of fail of the McCann, the Madeleine McCann documentary, right, that was put out by, really looks like it was put out by her parents, even though they said, oh, we had nothing to do with it. You know, it spends an entire episode talking about how many pedophiles there were in Praia da Luz, wow, Portugal, yeah, when it's the third safest place country in the world. The failure of the Adnan Syed documentary, I thought that maybe we were just turning the corner. But there is always money to be made in they were convicted, but maybe they're really innocent, you know?
All right, really well said.
I don't know if we'll ever see the end of it.
No, you'll never see the end. As long as there's somebody to stir up controversy and sell a film, it's probably going to go on from now to the end of time. I think that you'll just see it over and over again until people just really can't take it anymore. It's like, this is fake. So
right, yeah. And as an artist, you want your film to have, I wouldn't call Joe Berlinger an artist, but he probably thinks he is. You want your film to have the deepest impact on society. And what bigger impact could there be than your film getting a prisoner released? Right.
Very well said. In his instance, it was a child killer. So, but you know, I don't know. It's unbelievable. But we got distracted off of Robbins because your intro was talking about Berlinger, and I'm not your guru, right? So he made that.
Right. And Anthony Robbins, I had read an article a long time ago about Anthony Robbins being, I guess, kind of sexually, what do you call it, victimizing his followers, I guess. You know, being really
preying on them.
Yeah, preying on them. And it came to, he got under the microscope when I can't remember the exact, whether it was a rape victim or a sexual assault victim, but some woman who was some kind of victim, he told her not to take on the role of the victim and pity herself, and he got in a lot of trouble for saying that. And so there's a new article that just came out in BuzzFeed talking about his history with women and treating women really terribly.
Yeah, I mean, and so there's all these accusations, and that's probably just the beginning of there'll probably be more. You know, once the pattern is of these abusers is that once one person comes out, then these other people have the courage to tell their story as well. So I would anticipate it not getting better for Robbins, but getting worse.
Yeah. Have you been following any of the Michael Jackson estate stuff, that kind of that push that they're putting out?
Not really. Tell me what's going on.
I've just never seen anything like it. If you look up like Michael Jackson leaving Neverland on YouTube, and there'll be about 50 videos all talking about how innocent he was and how Wade Robson and Jimmy Safechuck, who are the subjects of the documentary Leaving Neverland, are liars. And there'll be body language experts saying, look how they're lying and they're guilty. And just, it's I've never seen a campaign like this. Wow. Ever.
So here's another powerful PR push to, you know, cover up somebody who's made settlements, right? Civil judgments, right? Or not really civil judgments, but there's civil settlements with Safechuck and the other guy, right?
Right. And I think I just was listening to a podcast talking about how he gave Jimmy Safechuck's father a Rolls Royce.
Wow. Well, which one did he give a wedding ring to? Was it Safechuck or was it Robson? Safechuck, okay.
Safechuck, and then there's video of them shopping for rings together with Michael Jackson in a disguise. It was out in the press. The most interesting thing about Michael Jackson is how open he was with his child boyfriends. I mean, I don't want to victims really, but I don't want to be insensitive, but.
Well, it's a good point. There's tons of pictures of him with little boys. It's just all the time. Like, it's like, There's no real attempt to really shield them from the media, right?
And that's the most interesting thing about their lawsuit against the Jackson estate, Jimmy Safechuck's and Wade Robson's, is that they talk about it being an entire Michael Jackson's business being an entire enterprise to support his pedophilia. So that it wasn't just him doing it alone. It was really, really a lot of people making it happen.
Neverland was like the, all the rides and all that stuff and all the people surrounding him. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't look good for Jackson. I mean, I think you and I had talked about offline that there's a lot of money at stake. I think the Jackson estate is worth billions of recurring revenues over time. So if the value of the Michael Jackson brand diminishes, that could cost a lot of people a lot of money.
Yeah. I mean, it's at the root of these innocence campaigns, right?
I think so. Right. So Robbins, just for people who don't know, he wrote a blurb for Damien Echols' most recent book. So it's all like this incestuous bunch of worms in, just crawling over each other, Robbins and Berlinger and Echols. It's gross.
Amazing. Oh, God, for that. That's so true. Right.
Yeah. They're just like feeding off each other. It's just like a lamprey attached to a lamprey attached to a lamprey. It's just something else.
It's amazing, right? And so many of these people who get out on a technicality or get themselves out somehow an Alfred plea, they like to hang around each other too.
They do, right? So there's that famous, infamous picture of Amanda Knox and Echols together hugging and smiling, and she's still out just like saying she's innocent when she was found guilty of Colonia, I think, in Italy, which is basically chucking the poor black guy in front of the bus in Italy. I mean, that's just bad.
It's like slander, yeah.
Yeah,
it's slander. The decision that got her acquitted was that she was there the night of the murder, and did she wash the victim's blood off her hands?
Right.
That's the decision that got her, that released her.
Right.
And she goes around saying she was so exonerated by
it. Right, exactly. So this is how they play it off in the public. It's an excellent point. So the judges come to a conclusion. What was the highest court in Italy? I can't remember. It was some kind of appeals court, right?
Highest court, yeah. So it's very defense-friendly. So that same court is also the same court that determined that Lance Armstrong's doctor wasn't guilty of doping. So that'll give you an idea of how defendant-friendly that system is.
Wow, I didn't know that. Yeah, it's incredible. Oh, man. I mean, I got to go take another shower. Oh, my God. Anyway, so Roberta Glass, people can find you at, you have a YouTube channel and a podcast, and you've got some social media. You're on Facebook and Twitter. And is there anything else you would like to add?
Yes. I also have a Facebook group, discussion group. So
nice. Yeah. People check that out. There's really good conversations, really good postings there. So I'm a member. If you want to come and scream at me or, stalk me, you can find me there. if you want to threaten to sue me this week, I need to get one lawsuit threat a month. So, might as well find me at the Roberta Glass Facebook page and threaten to sue me.
I'm waiting for your lawsuit.
Oh, yeah. I just wait for the papers, whatever. That's what I mean, I don't know. Some people who, we can talk offline. All right, Roberta Glass, True Crime Report. Thank you so much. What a great interview. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, all right.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.